popped his shoulder out of the joint, smashed my head a good several times. Again, it's a good thing being Irish. You're not that smart anyway, so it doesn't really hurt.
Hello, Addison.
Billy, just when you thought that we didn't have any more Yellowstone to talk about, Taylor Sheridan showed up for us. For our podcast.
I was hoping we would. I was hoping we would have a chance to do some bonus episodes because, as it turns out, it's going to be a little time before we get back to this series. And well, not just Taylor Sheridan producing, but also some other films involving some former Yellowstone stars.
Should we jump right in?
Well, yeah. I mean, an interview coming up. I mean, people who clicked on this podcast certainly figured out who we're talking to or who I had a chance to talk to. Neil McDonough, who plays Malcolm Beck, who I have said is like the greatest Yellowstone villain of all time. I had 20 minutes to chat with him. He's got a new movie coming out on May 23rd called The Last Rodeo. Getting a lot of coverage for this. He plays a bull rider, an aging bull rider who's coming back after injuries and trying to win a rodeo to raise money for his grandson's hospital needs. And it's emotional. It's a good film. I had a chance to watch it and talk to Neil, but of course I had some pretty good Yellowstone questions for him that I've been, as you know, holding on to for a long time.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like you specifically, like, were you geeking out inside?
A little. I had to, like, because, you know, I feel like we probably go deeper into the granular aspects of this show than even the cast does. So probably. I wanted to ask him about the bomb and the Beck brothers' plane, right? This is, like, one of the biggest loose ends. But I couldn't just ask him like he knew what I was talking about. I had to kind of backdoor into it. Like, last question, if you don't know, no big deal. Even though that was the reason I wanted to get on the podcast.
No big deal, but.
Do you happen to know? And he talked about that. He talked about some great scenes with Kevin Costner, working with Taylor Sheridan. He was an open book and very willing to talk about those experiences.
A question I have for you is, was there anything about his personality? You know, we see him as a character on the screen, and sometimes it's fun when you actually meet or interact with the actor or actress, and sometimes they're different, sometimes they're not. Like, was there anything that kind of surprised you about him?
Obviously not as mean,
right,
as he was on the shows, but there's a similar intensity to his personality. He's not like lighthearted and a joker and, you know, necessarily, but there's an intensity and a seriousness to the craft. But also, as he starts in the very beginning, we'll talk. I ask him about how like his real life story lines up with the character he plays, and his answer to that question is really good. Like, it really kind of took me aback. I had kind of forgotten about some things he shared, and he talked about how his own loss in life and some things that led up to it sort of loosely inspired this movie that he's written.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I'm excited. And for those who are listening right now, that's coming at the very end of this podcast. But before we get there, I mean, we've got to cover what Taylor Sheridan's kind of cooking up. Like you said, it's not a right now, but it's for what we can anticipate.
I think we can provide very solid updates on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Taylor Sheridan shows, 4 of them in the Yellowstone universe. These are like confirmed names, start dates, etc.
Do we think this man sleeps?
Not a lot. I mean, he doesn't have kids, so that certainly gives him some time to kind of play. But the output is
wild.
Wild, yes, absolutely.
Well, and he has The Road coming out, which is reality singing show competition.
Yeah, I had kind of forgotten about that one as well. That's the one with Keith Urban, Blake Shelton, Gretchen Wilson all involved in it.
Yeah,
we're starting to get a few. Not clear to me how Taylor's involved to that. In that, like, the trailer for that came out, little 30-second teaser, and he's not in the teaser. So I don't know if he has any on-camera role for this. I think probably not, but I don't know.
I told you when I think I can share this. When I went to the taping, yeah. I think I can share this. He was very visibly, like, he sat in the audience with Keith Urban, with Blake Shelton. Like, he was right next to him. So there's no way, like, if he doesn't want to be on camera, he's probably not showing up to the taping. Or he's like in the background.
I mean, this is a guy who likes to put himself in all of his projects as well. So it would be a surprise if he's not somehow involved.
Okay, let's start with season 2 of Landman.
Okay. We talked about Landman a lot on this podcast. I'm really big fans, and I think we'll probably go episode by episode once again when it begins, because it just lined up really nicely with this audience. But season two, Landman, is going to be back on Paramount Plus. Sam Elliott confirmed to be joining the cast. He's replacing, not a direct replacement, but if you watched season one, you know one of the stars didn't make it through. And I won't tease who that is if you haven't caught up yet, but he's one of the big names attached to it. And we know that Landman season two is coming in November.
Which honestly will be here before we know it.
And I suppose I should, you're going to laugh at me when I give you my source for all this information.
ChatGPT?
No. I was reading through the transcript of Paramount's global quarter one earnings call.
Stop.
As one does.
As one does. Okay. You know what? After knowing you for so long, Billy, nothing surprised. This does not surprise me. But would I have even thought about that? No.
And
but continue.
The CEO, Chris McCarthy, who's been in charge of a lot of the creative, he gave all of these dates and details. So that's your source there. This isn't unnamed source coming from a third party. This is a company head delivering it to shareholders and putting timestamps on it. So about as credible as it gets, in my opinion.
Interesting. So is this the first? This is the first series of the six that we talked about that would be coming first from Taylor Sheridan, right? Landman in November?
It's the first from the Yellowstone franchise, but there's two non-Yellowstone franchises coming up before that.
Okay.
In September, Tulsa King season three is going to return on Paramount Plus. We talked about Tulsa King some. I don't think we'll go episode by episode because season two was a little lackluster. I do know that Cal Thresher, who is Neil McDonough, he's on the show. It's confirmed that he's going to take a run at governor for season three, and he's going to become even more of a villain for Sylvester Stallone's character. That's about the only new detail we have there. There was a big cliffhanger at the end of season two where Sylvester Stallone's character gets kind of kidnapped at the end. We don't know the outcome of that, but September. So that'll be the first show back.
Okay. And then, I mean, we have Dutton Ranch, which, to be honest, I didn't think was actually going to happen. But now it's happening?
I think the last time we talked, like, we didn't even know this was a thing. We certainly didn't know it had a name.
That's with Kelly Riley and Cole Hauser, ripping Beth.
Yeah, yeah. And at the time, we didn't even know that this show was going to be a thing. We didn't know it was going to be called Dutton Ranch, that's for sure. Which, you tell me, is the name Dutton Ranch a good thing or a bad thing for our Dutton Rules podcast?
I mean, I think it's fine. There wasn't ever a Dutton Rules in Yellowstone, so it's not like people were searching it. You know what I mean? Like, there's not... True. I still don't think it's a crossover. Like, I don't think it's going to hurt or help.
I'm not sure what the SEO implications are there, though. But yeah, Dutton Ranch, this is, if you remember at the end of Yellowstone, they moved off to their own ranch. So this will be kind of starting up there. And we know that show is not only coming, it's coming soon. In November, the same month as Landman Season 2, Dutton Ranch is going to premiere on Paramount Network. This is the cable channel that Yellowstone was on. And then the next day, the streaming will go to Paramount Plus, not Peacock like it used to.
I mean, Sheridan didn't ask for our two cents, but just in the sense of, like, we cover all this, could he have not, like, spread it out a little bit? Like, let's put Dutton Ranch in October.
They're all fall shows, I know. Like, give me, like, why not have a good little summer show?
Exactly. Right? You want something to binge after a day at the beach?
Hey, I'm with you. We had 1923 in the winter spring, so I guess that was okay. But, like, early seasons of Yellowstone were in, like, July, August, so he could have done that for us.
And said no. Yeah. Okay, so what else? We have Luke Grimes is coming back to the screen, but not because of Dutton Ranch.
So this got confirmed as well. Not only got confirmed, it got a name and a date. This is the Luke Grimes Casey Dutton spinoff, which we assume has to star Kelsey Asbill and Brecken Merrill too, right? Like, you can't have a new wife and no son.
It's not like they're just using Luke Grimes as the actor. They're using Casey Dutton. So that would be odd.
Yes.
That'd be very odd.
And the show is going to be called Why Marshalls. Don't love it.
I'm like,
don't love the name.
That one felt like an intern decided on that.
To be clear, it's just the letter Y colon, yeah. Marshalls, not like W-H-Y. Wasn't a question. Why Marshalls? Why not?
Why Marshalls? Here's a
couple points on that. First of all, let's remember that these shows often have a history of changing names. 1883 was going to be called 1886. 1923 was going to be called 1932. Mm-hmm. Madison was going to be called 2024. Like, these shows change names. So maybe that won't be the one that sticks. But also, Casey's going to play some sort of Montana law enforcement marshal, which kind of is at odds with where we left him in Yellowstone, where he essentially just buried his badge or threw it in the trash. You know, he wanted to get as far away from like being a lawman as he could. It does seem like now he's back in the law enforcement field.
Yeah, it's like he full sent.
And maybe just ranching didn't work out. He needed the paycheck.
Yeah, it will be interesting. It will be interesting to see when you separate, because let's be real. Let's address the elephant in the room. Not everyone loved Monica.
Kelsey, no, she certainly got better through the five seasons, but there were some people, some early haters. Yeah,
but it will be interesting when you don't have the backing of like a Beth Dutton or Summer, any of the characters. Like, she essentially will be kind of standing, like their family unit will be standing alone. It will be interesting to see how people respond to her.
I think the show also needs another strong lead somewhere along the way. Like, someone he works with needs to be someone we tune in to watch and recognize.
Agreed.
I don't know if their family alone can carry the show, but it is on CBS, and it's going to be a procedural relying on his Navy SEALs training early 2026. And I think the thing is, it's going to be like a mid-season premiere or like a winter premiere. You know how they do that with shows sometimes? A show gets the boot and they slide a new show in there.
You think that's what this is going to be?
That's what they're saying. They're saying winter 2026. So this coming television season, just like kind of a mid-season premiere.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know. You writing this down?
Yeah. I mean, I got this all in my head. We're going to be busy is what I'm thinking. What did you do for work today? Watched Yellowstone. Took notes. Yellowstone. Watched Dutton Ranch. Took notes. Landman. Took notes.
We got two more in the Yellowstone universe, but we skipped right over, and this isn't a show we've talked about at all, but Mayor of Kingstown Season 4, that's the Jeremy Renner show, that's coming back to Paramount Plus in October.
What other two did I miss bringing up?
Well, the one that we were excited about after 1923 ended. You've forgotten already. Edison's like, who are you? Brendan who?
Yeah, oh, no. Who's 1944.
This? 1944, right.
No, I've not forgotten about Brendan. Brandon. We keep saying Brendan. That's Brendan McLaughlin is Miranda Lambert's husband. Brandon Sklenner is the actor.
Brandon Sklenner. When I say it like that, my Midwest accent really comes out. But yeah, he is, there's no news that he's attached to this show. There's no reason to believe that. All we know is that the show is on pace for a late 2026 premiere. So we're going to have to wait a year and a half for this show to kind of crystallize or to learn any sort of details about it.
I think that's okay. I think we have enough in the oven.
We have plenty. And this all sort of leaves, in this earnings call, there was no news of the one show that we thought would be next. Like, when we left, we thought for sure the Madison was going to be the next show to come our way. I got nothing on the Madison. Like, it seems like it's filmed. It's got stars. It's got a cast. No idea when or where that's launching. It was bizarre.
Do you think it got canned?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm very confused.
At a loss for words.
Yeah, because Michelle Pfeiffer, she's a pretty big name. You know, we talked about her movies in the year that they came out, and we had that moment where you made me feel old. Thank you. I'll never forget it. But you would mention a star like her caliber, and you know, if you're trying to kind of get stock buyers to kind of believe in your company, you might throw her a mention. It just seems out of place that they didn't mention that show at all.
Guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I think that's all of them, right?
Yeah, that is all of them.
Okay. Staff at tasteofcountry.com, as always, is the place to email if you know something about the Madison. And sometimes this works. We get people who I know somebody who was part of the filming, and sometimes they're right on, sometimes they're not even close, but it's always fun to sort of have those conversations. Absolutely. Or just if you want to share what show you're excited about, we'd love to talk to you.
Alrighty. Well, I'm excited for this interview. I'm excited for the question that you were getting to ask him about that we talked about at the very beginning of this podcast. And just fun. I'm excited to see, I mean, we haven't interviewed him before, so I'm just excited to see him as a human and what it all entails.
Yeah, he was good. Neil McDonough, he stars in The Last Rodeo. We know him as either Cal Thresher on Tulsa King or better as Malcolm Beck from season 2 of Yellowstone. Mostly talking about his new movie, quite a bit about Yellowstone as well. So I hope you enjoy this conversation and his answer to the bomb on the plane question. It may not be fully satisfying, but I thought it was a thoughtful answer.
Well, y'all, this is the Dutton Rules Yellowstone podcast, another informative Townsquare Media podcast.
We were informative today, very informative. Bravo. We
get those planners out when y'all listen to this episode.
See ya.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
Neil, it's great to meet you, man. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time.
No, the pleasure is mine. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
The film is called The Last Rodeo, and I guess the first question I have for you, is that you up on that bowl?
A lot of it is, yeah. Sometimes, is it really? No, but a lot of it, I'm a knucklehead. I like to get in and get dirty and, you know, and feel the pain. And I enjoy that stuff. The physicality, playing sports as long as I did.
Yeah.
It's the physicality of acting that really gets me going. So I've always prided myself on doing my own stunts and doing all my own work, and it's just a lot of fun.
What kind of injuries did you sustain while filming?
Oh, I busted up a good couple of things to pop a shoulder out of the joint. Smashed my head a good several times. But again, it's a good thing being Irish. You're not that smart anyway, so it doesn't really hurt.
I really enjoyed this movie, and I'm just going to quick read the description from the promo. It's, to save his grandson, a retired rodeo star enters a high-stakes bull riding competition. Along the way, he confronts his past, discovers faith, and proves that true courage lies in family. Where does Neil McDonough's story line up with Joe Wainwright's story?
Well, it's kind of semi-autobiographical, Billy, in some ways. Years ago, I went through a very difficult time, as everyone knows, when I wouldn't do a certain, you know, I wouldn't do any kissing scenes in this one TV show. And they said, if I don't do it, they'll fire me. And they fired me.
Yeah.
And then for 2 years, I just didn't work. I didn't have anything. They took my house away, cars away, everything. And at that time, I drank myself kind of silly just to kind of push everybody away and wallow in my own self-pity. And it wasn't until I kind of realized that I was making it about myself, and I forgot about God, and I forgot about a lot of things, that I switched everything around and gave up drinking, went to church almost daily, whether it was a mosque or a temple or a church or just a place of religious worship, and just thanked God for all the stuff that I did have and thanked him for the opportunity of going through that hard time. Because when you go through hard times in life, you understand and you learn so much. And I learned what was really important to me, and that was faith and family. And at that point, my wife, Ravee, and I kind of decided, well, let's start making films that touch upon that faith and family. And we started with our first film called Greater, which was a really just an awesome little football film that we did. And then we built upon it. And then lining up with Angel Studios a few years back, we did The Shift and we did Homestead. And now we got The Last Rodeo coming out, which is really our baby, because I wrote it. You know, Ravee and I built this right from the beginning. So Last Rodeo, Joe Wainwright goes through the same kind of stuff. He went through a horrible thing that happened to him, and he wallowed in his self-pity for a long, long time. And something snapped him out of it, and that was his son getting sick. And he's like, all right, my son's got a brain tumor just like my wife did. I've got no money. What the heck am I going to do about it?
Right.
And it was family and faith that got him through everything. And I love this movie. I'm so stinking proud of this movie, I can barely talk about it, because it's, you know, to have John Avnet direct it, and to have all my friends be part of it with me, Michael T. Williamson playing Charlie, Christopher McDonald playing Jimmy Mack, and Dalen jumping on, whom I became friends with last year, or 2 years ago now, a year ago, 2 years ago. So all these people, that just the goodwill and the hard work of so many people to make this film come true is really just such a blessing. And here we are now, 10 days out from it opening up. Yeah. And people are loving the film so far. So I'm very, very proud of it.
So I have a couple follow-ups to that, but I want to point out that as a 46-year-old, the two actors you just mentioned are best known to me as Bubba from Forrest Gump, the shrimp guy, and then, of course, Shooter McGavin. Christopher McDonald will always be Shooter McGavin to me.
He'll always be Shooter. You know, he's got Shooter Part 2 coming with the new Happy Gilmore. So, you know, long live Shooter, and Chris McDonald is one of the most decent, fantastic, generous, amazing actors there is. And, you know, he's been one of my best friends for about 30 years.
Yeah.
So it was just awesome to have him part of the journey.
You mentioned your personal story and kind of going through that. If the timeline, if I'm correct, you had your wife to kind of lean on kind of through those difficult times. And this year, you have family, you have a daughter, but the relationship is solid but has been strained previously. You had already found sobriety in this film. Did you kind of have to rethink what it would be like to kind of go through those troubles without a spouse alongside you?
Yeah, you know, it was, again, the whole idea of the film came to me when I was doing another Western called The Warrant, and I was driving home one day from set, and I hate being away from Reve and the kids, and I had to pull over to the side of the road because I got gut punched with this one thought that what would ever happen to me if something happened to Reve, and it just buckled me. And then I saw some horses running out on the side of the road in Arizona, and this thought came into my head, which I know came from above: write a film about Rocky on a Bull for an old dude whose grandson is dying of brain cancer, the same thing that killed his wife. I'm a pretty smart there dude, Billy, but that one just came. That was a gift from him above. And we just, on the side of the road for a couple of hours, I just voice dictated it into my phone. And then the next morning I sent it up to my writing partner. He's like, what the heck is this? This is such a departure from what you've been writing. We've been writing more Lee Marvin-ish kind of tough guy, mm-hmm. find their heart in the end of the film type of movies. But we switched it up a bit with this and made it really emotional. And if it weren't for my wife, Reve, you know, I wouldn't be here today. She got me through the problems that I went through all those years ago. She put my butt back in a church. She, you know, got me to stop drinking and focus on what was important in life. And that was on God. And I've always professed that. But I think for a while, going through the pain, you forget a lot of stuff when you're going through a lot of hard stuff. And as soon as I remembered, all of a sudden the hard stuff went by the wayside and I started finding the good stuff in everything. And, I owe a lot to Taylor Sheridan for giving me a shot on Yellowstone and then on Tulsi King. And then I did this great short film for David Glasser's son called The Writer, which we did this last summer at Taylor's ranch in Weatherford. Uh-huh. I owe many thanks to Taylor for really getting me into the genre that I've always wanted to be in, and that was more the Western world. We started with The Warrant and Warrant Part 2, but Taylor really ramped it up for me and allowed me to be the kind of guy that I wanted to be, be part of in films, be part of that Western all-American culture.
So that was one of my questions, is the degree to which your character, Neil, of course, played Malcolm back on season 2 of Yellowstone, the degree to which that time amplified. Did it begin or amplify this love of sort of the Western world? And then by extension, we got to bull riding, which is certainly a unique niche of it.
Yeah. I think as a kid, my favorite films, Sunday afternoons after church, you're always watching the Three Stooges and then the John Wayne films come on. So to me, the Cowboys was kind of,
it was there.
Like for some reason, my favorite film as a little boy. I just loved John Wayne and the toughness and the decisions he had made and protecting his family, which happened to be, about 15, 13-year-old boys who were going to run his cattle across the line to get to a certain spot. So it was that protection. It was that old West mentality. It was that yes, ma'am, yes, sir mentality that my dad brought up in us, that coming off the boat from Ireland with 12 bucks in his pocket, walked straight into an army office and said, make me an American. So my dad was the proudest American there was, and he instilled those values into all of us kids. I think he instilled a little bit more of it into me because I was the baby, and that was a mistake who came years later.
Right.
So I think he took a little extra time with me and talked politics and talked about life and talked about strategies and talked about what America is and how great America is. And that's always kind of resonated inside my soul. And so I always wanted to be able to make those films, but as the villain du jour for so long, I wasn't really getting the opportunity to be part of that culture. And then Taylor came along and he gave it to me. Granted, I had to be a villain in Yellowstone and Tulsa King, but it got me back in the saddle, really, to be able to start getting into horses and riding horses again, as I did since I was a kid, and being around those types of tough as nails guys who don't whine or complain about stuff. And I just love being around those types of people. And I get to write about it now, and I get to live those characters through my films. And I'm just so fortunate and blessed that God has given me the opportunity to make these stories that give glory to him.
Neil also plays Cal Thresher, or still plays, because you're still, yep, your character is still alive in season 3 of Tulsa King, which I believe is coming in September, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
Yep.
Bull riding, though, was that did you have to kind of really double down and do a lot of research on this topic, or did you have a little bit of expertise?
Billy, I knew so little about bull riding, it was crazy. Okay. Horse riding, yes. PBR, everybody's seen PBR. But to actually jump into and understand bull riding and start to ride, and the amount of hours that this butt has been on a mechanical bull is astounding. it was Buddy Joe Hooker, who was a stunt coordinator in this film and about 300 other films, worked me so early on horses, and he was a stickler, and on mechanical bulls. There's a mechanical bull in a bar right around the corner from my house. And on off hours, I'd go in there and just practice and practice and practice and practice. And then when I got down to Oklahoma, where we filmed most of it, same thing, just practicing all the time on the mechanical bulls and getting up on the real bulls and working it and understanding exactly where you're supposed to sit, where your hands are supposed to go, where you're supposed to do this. And Kyle Sherwood, who is a champion himself, a PBR champion, was my coach and mentor for all of this. And he was not going to let me. My dream was to make sure that everyone, every rider who saw me do this, knew that I worked my tail off to make sure that it was authentic. Yeah. And those guys made sure it was authentic. And they busted me up and would laugh their butts off at me, falling off and get back, up again. And, I'm too stupid to know any better.
you know, the one thing I think you did that was... Two other areas, I don't know if it was intentional, but like, first of all, I'm with you. I grew up in Detroit. I knew what bull riding was, and I knew the 8 seconds, but I didn't understand the scoring and how that worked. And that got broken down in this film in a really pleasant way. But you also really bring the perspective of, like, not just the event and the athletes, but the family and the torment of watching someone get on a bull again and again and again. And your daughter in this film sort of is the representative of that. And I don't know if that takes its own sort of research, or yeah, that just kind of came intuitively, but that was well done. Some of those softer emotional decisions.
And I think that's what, John Avnet's direction on the bull sequences were phenomenal. I mean, if you're a bull riding fan, you're going to go crazy for this, because you're going to feel like you're actually in a PBR event. And Sean Gleason, the head of PBR, gave us carte blanche to everything. He let us use his bulls. He let us use his riders and use their real names. So that lends such authenticity to the project when you're doing a film about PBR and you get to use all the PBR stuff and the real riders and their real names. So you really feel like you're in a PBR event. But it was the emotional core to the film that I think John really nailed. It was, that fractured relationship between me and my daughter, fractured relationship between me and my best friend.
Yeah.
And what happened? We all go through those. Every family goes through fractures. Every family goes through problems. I don't care what family you're in. Every family has its issues. And this one certainly has its issues itself. And to play with those issues is something that's what really resonates to massive audience, because everyone has to go through it. Not everyone knows about bull riding, but everyone knows about the pain of losing somebody. Everyone knows the pain of what cancer is. Everyone knows the pain of, I can't figure out how to talk to my daughter. I can't figure out how to talk to my dad. He's just so, or she's just so. And to finally come to an understanding of each other through faith is something that I am very, very, very proud of.
As Malcolm Beck, who I've always said is the greatest villain in the Yellowstone franchise history.
He's misunderstood, not a villain. He's just misunderstood. He was a heck of a guy.
Debatable. I mean, that was another one of those roles too, where I wonder if it kind of rocked your moral compass a little bit in the same way of the other project you were talking about earlier, because you're forced into some scenes and doing some action that is, illegal. and deadly. Well,
I think it was under the, it's other than kissing another woman, which everyone knows I won't do.
Right.
Morality doesn't really have much to do with
okay.
my choices in films. It's either it's not moral or amoral. It's well written or not well written.
Fair.
So when it comes to Taylor Sheridan, it's well written. It's well crafted. It's really thought out. So to play those kinds of rich layered characters is something that's what I gravitate to. I want to play characters that have bite. You know, whether they're good guys, finally now I get to play good guys after all these years and kiss the woman and be the hero in the film. And I get to kiss none other than my actual real wife, Reve, who plays my wife in the film. So I'm finally getting, you know, what I've always wanted to be, that heroic John Wayne character. And I finally get to lock lips with my bride on screen. It's just, Billy, I can't even tell you how proud I am that we waited all these years and finally someone like Angel Studios has given me the shot to be the hero in films. And get to write these films and get to kiss the girl in the end. It's a pretty magnificent feeling. I got to tell you. So, but yeah, it's because of Taylor getting me here, playing all these characters that really culminated in The Last Rodeo and this moment.
How did you get that role as Malcolm? How did you first come across Taylor and meet? Was it just a standard audition, or did he know you?
No, they called up and they said, would Neil be interested in playing the villain on Yellowstone?
Oh, okay.
Yellowstone at that time had only been out for one season, but it had already taken over like crazy. And Kevin and I had worked together on The Guardian, and we had such an awesome relationship between, you know, at lunchtime, we'd be down at LSU, and both of us played college baseball. So we'd take batting practice during lunch and just talk about life and talk about family and talk about faith, and talk about Westerns and talk about all the things that I love and that Kevin loves. And Kevin's one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. And not only is he just a great guy, but what a fabulously talented actor who cares so much about his craft. And for that, I always put him on the Mount Rushmore, the best actors in the world. And that's what Kevin is.
Your death scene is that conversation with Kevin's John Dutton. And it's just a beautiful conversation. You know, so many actors have kind of talked about being awestruck around Kevin Costner. And you just mentioned you guys went back, so I imagine that wasn't the case. But were you kind of so deep in the moment that you weren't kind of aware of what was happening, or kind of take me into that scene a little bit, or filming that final scene?
I don't really, you know, in real life, I'm much more of an introverted, shyer kind of guy. It's harder to get a conversation out of me with me, but I have to fake it. I always tell my wife, I do the best 30 second conversations than anybody. I can talk for 30 seconds, then off to the next, or then up. But if I have to talk for a long time with people, I'm just a little bit more shy. But when you give me a character, I don't have to worry about me. I'm not me anymore. So if I'm talking to actors who are like Kevin Costner or like Sylvester Stallone, talking to them is one thing, but acting out a scene with them is different, because I lose focus of who Neil is and what's reality to Neil McDonough. I'm always focusing on what's reality to the character. So nerves don't really come into play with me when I'm acting, because I love my craft so much, but I immerse myself into a character 100%. Like, you know, there's like the scene I had to do with Kelly and, you know, I go into her office and I tell her that I'm going to, you know, destroy her life if she doesn't do certain things. I had never met Kelly, and I walked into her office when we were doing the scene and I sat in the back corner and they said, Neil, would you like to sit in your chair? And I'm like, no, I'm going to sit here in my chair. I had it. So it's directly sitting at Kelly while she's getting her touch-ups, makeups on. I'm just staring right at her and I can see her just kind of looking over at me, just kind of getting a little nervous and just kind of staring over in my direction. I'm just straight on just staring. And they said, you know, roll, and I said, could you please I like having the camera on the actor, the other actor first, because I want their reaction to be real. I want their reaction to be something. So as soon as I started walking over, as they're rolling, I see her hand start to quiver a little bit. And I'm like, oh, Malcolm's gutter. And we did the scene and it was so great. As the scene was over, you know, she was like, that was one of the most riveting scenes I've ever done. Thank you so much for just staying in your character and scaring the heck out of me, which amped up my character to be more protective of my own life and my own stuff. So for as an actor, I love mixing it up and getting into it and being part of that character. So when you ask, you know, what's it like you know, being in, you know, with guys like Kevin, that doesn't really faze me because I love my craft so
that
much.
Makes sense. I have one more question, and I think you might be the only man on earth who can answer it. Well, save Taylor Sheridan, who hasn't, I've never talked to. We get into a little bit of the granular details of Yellowstone, being a Yellowstone podcast, and we've identified what we call loose ends, and they're forgivable because things happen, and it's very difficult to write these kind of scripts, but one of them involves you, and I want to see if maybe you can kind of sew it up for me. Late in season two, Casey Dutton, Luke Grimes, teams with another law enforcement agent, I can't remember his character's name, and they put a bomb in the Beck brothers' plane. And then we never see that again. We never see the bomb blow up. It never flies. It's never referred to again. Any idea what happened with that bomb or with that scene?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's just Taylor likes to have mental threats to the audience always. And if he's always got the audience on the edge of their seats, he can slide in something different that happens. I mean, shooting my brother in a toilet, did anybody expect that to happen? No.
No.
Not even close. So by having a red herring here or there, thinking this is going to be the Beck's demise, this is how they're going to go, this is what's going to happen, it wasn't. And then to beautifully have my death between two guys in the middle of a field trying to figure out honesty and integrity and doing the right thing. That's pretty. He could have just blown me away right there in the middle of the field, but he didn't.
Right.
And that's such superlative writing from Taylor Sheridan, because he knows how to make things very emotional, very raw, but really very entertaining and very interesting, but specific to the characters and what the characters would say and do. He doesn't kind of write scenes. He lives these scenes himself, and I swear when he's writing, he pretends he's Malcolm, and then he pretends he's John, and then he pretends he's just so intuitive as to what the character might think, and that's how he writes to it. And I don't know anyone else who does it as well as Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. Great stuff. I enjoy the film and the final scenes. I won't spoil it, but where your wife Ruvae plays your wife in the film as well. I mean, that was just really some tear-jerking moments there between you guys from a distance. Beautiful movie.
I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, The Last Rodeo is the name of it. It's Neil McDonough, who we know he's going to be on Tulsa King this September as Cal Thresher, who I believe is a governor. I heard you're a governor now. Is that the governor, Cal Thresher?
Yeah, I said last year to David Glasser that I'd like to come back this year and, you know, be the governor, maybe somehow team up with Stallone or whatever. And he goes, all right, that's a great idea. Let me think about it. And then I didn't hear anything for about 2 months. And it was my wife's, Ravee's idea. I said, tell David that that's what you want to do. And I told him, I didn't hear anything for 2 months. And then all of a sudden I get a phone call. Okay, you start filming in 2 weeks. Here's the first draft. And there it is. Cal Thresher running for governor of the great state of Oklahoma. I was like, yes.
Perfect.
We're going to have fun. We're going to have fun this year on Tulsa King. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's a really fun show to watch as well. Hey man, really enjoyed it. I'm glad that, you know, a couple years ago with one of those other projects, I think I had an opportunity to talk to you and we just missed paths. So, I'm glad we got the chance today and, I look forward to everybody's reaction to the film as well.
I pray that everyone goes out to see it. If you want to see more films that talk about the heartland of America and faith and family and those things that we always love, please go support the film, go buy some tickets and go see The Last Rodeo.